If in Juma they don't hear the name of Ubaidullah, he said, I fear the whole Egypt will stand up again. And 16 years of my effort will get washed away. He says, just leave that name of Ubaidullah. I have done everything else. The Adhan is corrected. The minds are corrected. Al-Azhar is becoming ours. The army is becoming ours. The symbols of the Shia have been taken out. So much I have done. Leave this one last. So it's a unique part of history where Nuruddin Zengi writes to Salahuddin al-Ayyubi. The crux of his letter was that this religion of Islam is pure from beginning to the ending. And this religion of Islam will make sure whatever added things came in, it will somehow wipe it out. And it will not end except that it is pure like how it was at the beginning. So he says, if you are not going to make it pure, somebody else is going to make it pure. So he says, why lose the opportunity of such rewards? Someone's going to do it. If it's not going to be you, it's going to be someone. It was on that letter now that Salahuddin al-Ayyubi said, I'll go for this also. But imagine what it was. And it happened to be when the letter reached him the month of Muharram. And that's when the Shia in the Josh. And in the month of Muharram now, he's told in the khutbah now, that announcement has to be made, there is no more Shiism. So his qadi says to him, what we will do in the first Jummah, we won't take out his name, but we will put the phrases different. And how they made the phrase, they made the phrase in the Arabic world, it will come, Allahumma hdi, Ubaidullah wal Abid. That, O Allah, guide Ubaidullah and Abid and his followers. When normally in every khutbah it was, like how we praise the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the Khalifa was praised. So the Khatib, instead of praising him, now just changed and he made a dua that grant them hidayat. So the people looked at it and they wondered where this statement came from. Because we all know our khutbah bahat, whether you know what it means, arhamu ummati bi ummati Abu Bakr. Everyone knows it. But that day they had a different khutbah. So some questioned after the new khutbah. And the following week that name came out. And for Salahuddin al-Ayyubi on that day it was like you drop a bomb. And you're waiting to see, does it burst? The grenade fell. And you're just looking at it. And when the people left the masjid, then where Salahuddin was so worried. But Islam had said, how I started pure, I will end pure. Within 4 days, that Khalif of the Shia died also. So when he died, Salahuddin al-Ayyubi sat with his Qadi. And he said to the Qadi, you know, the last 10 days that went through my life, had I known this man was going to die, I would have just given one more khutbah in his name. And next week I would have changed it. So the Qadi started laughing and he said, he only died because you took out his name. Had you not taken, he wouldn't have died. But that day was a miracle for the whole world of Islam. Why a miracle for the whole world? Every boy who became an alim, he would have seen Fathul Bari, Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. He would have said Umdatul Qari al-Lama'ini. He would have heard of Mullah Ali Qari. He would have heard of the different Hanafi scholars that came from the land of Egypt. The different ulama of hadith that came from the land of Egypt. He would have heard of the masters of the finds of Rijal that came from the land of Egypt. But if he had to ask Salahuddin al-Ayyubi, he would have said to that student, that you know, when I reached the land of Egypt, even Qala Qala Rasulullah was not being said. There was no Bukhari and Muslim. Forget the shuruat of Bukhari and Muslim. Had it not been for that man's 16-year effort, practically the whole world, because Shia thought was going in the whole world through Al-Azhar, that man's 16-year effort was going to make Islam what we find Islam today. But the point to think about, when 16 years of his life was done, used, the next 15 years of his life was going to be to fight the Crusades. And he did a unique thing in fighting the Crusades. He mobilized the armies of Islam. He took them battle through battle. Finally, there was the Battle of Hittin, where the mightiest force of the Crusaders were brought in, and how he defeated them at that battle, and it's a unique battle to go into history. And then he walked into Masjid al-Aqsa on the 27th of Rajab. And what a time he chose. Because it was 27th of Rajab, famous in the world. that the Mi'raj would have taken place. So on the Mi'raj, Rasulullah reaches the land of Al-Aqsa. Allah Ta'ala made it that He chose the 27th of Rajab. And He chose that when I will enter, it was a Jummah they had taken over. But He made His entering into the city in the night also. So on the 9th of the 27th of Rajab, and the next day was going to be the Jummah. And then the Jummah was going to be that unique khutbah which was going to be given. But what a unique entering. So 15 years, he destroyed the entire crusades. 16 years, he destroyed the entire Shia faith. But when the world hears about Salahuddin al-Ayyubi, they only hear about 15 years. And this 16 years, no one ever speaks about. In this 15 years against the crusades, he saved the lands of Al-Aqsa. That's why his qadi then wrote to him. When the victory was done, he said, I am writing this letter while many other of the awliya of Allah are still in sajda. He said, when we are thinking about how many churches will again be brought into masajid, he said, we are just crying and crying. That was Sham. So that's what he did. But in there, he changed the churches back into masjids. And in this 16 years of effort, people who were on the brinks of becoming kafir, or had already become kafir, he brought them back into Islam. Shia thought were making not masjid into churches, but it was making the musallis of the masjid into kafir. 16 years of effort, he did a miracle in changing the Shia faith. But why history won't mention it? Because there was a fear by the shayateen historians, that if the world left to hear that the greatest enemy of Salahuddin al-Ayyubi was not the crusaders, but it was the Shia. And he devoted more of his life to fight the Shia than he did for the Christians. Then many of me and you will also start hating the Shia. And we will also say, that's my hero Salahuddin. If he hated the Shia so much, I will also hate the Shia so much. And if he gave so much of his life to destroy them, I will also do the same. So with that effort of his, a unique chapter of history came to an end. So we will end on one point and then we will go on to round two. The Shia regime was created, that we all know. And thereafter were the crusades, and that we spoke about. After the crusades had taken place 1 year later, there was a group of 9 people who entered. This is that part of history which many people don't know. So 9 people will come to the Christian king who was in the lands of Al-Aqsa, and they will tell him that we want to look after this land. So he asked, what do you mean you want to look after it? So they say, we are knights not like the other knights. We don't want land, we don't want money. All we want to is to protect you, the Christian. So when you will make your journey from Europe to the lands of Al-Aqsa, we will look after the highways. And when people are worshipping in the precincts of Al-Aqsa, we will make sure no Muslim ever harms them. So then he asked this group, what do you all want for your services? So they said, we will give our services for free. So he asked, what do we call you all? So he says, you will call us the Knights of the Temple. Al-Aqsa could have been called a church at that time. Had it been Jews, they would have called it a synagogue. But this group was a group of Satanists who called it a temple. So he asked, what do you all want? So he said, at the front of the masjid, we will put up a stable. That's where we will stay. And we will look after the entire precincts. So today history has written that for the next 13 years, this group was going to do nothing in the precincts of Al-Aqsa but dig. They were just going to dig. Dig, dig, dig. Later on in history, people will write that it seems that the entire crusade effort and that entire millions of lives that were going to be lost, or thousands of lives, and the Muslims fighting the Christians, and you ask the Muslims, what are you fighting for? They say, we don't know why the Christians came. You'll ask the Christians, what are you fighting for? We say, we don't know why we came. All of them, if they are to be asked, who brought you all to the land of Al-Aqsa? History today will write that the entire crusades was orchestrated just so that these 9 people could dig in the precincts of Al-Aqsa. Just dig.